expect until this morning for Sauk County with wind chills around 15 to 20 below zero. Mostly sunny and cold today with a high of 14. It's 3 below.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Firefighters on standby, ready to attack any new wildfires. People are being urged to keep their emergency alerts turned on at all times as the winds pick up. Here's ABC News Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee with more on the forecast.
This morning there will be a peak, and again tomorrow morning, a little lull between the two. It's not constant wind, but when they come and they push 60, 70 mile per hour gusts, and that makes fire behavior explosive. This is not something that happens all that often. That's why they're putting that PDS red flag warning through tomorrow.
PDS, possible destructive situation. Former special counsel Jack Smith's report on Donald Trump's actions after the 2020 election has been released. It alleges the president-elect made up claims about fraud to pressure state officials into rejecting lawful votes. Smith also says he feels they would have gotten a conviction if Trump had not won a second term. Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth will face questions on Capitol Hill in about an hour. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wind chills are wicked. Be sure to cover all exposed skin. Frostbite can happen in as little as 30 minutes. Frostbite symptoms can include pain, numbness, swelling, blisters, and skin discoloration. It's most common on your fingers, toes, nose, and ears. It may lead to permanent, irreversible tissue damage. Limit your time outdoors and warm up your body often. If you believe that you have frostbite, go inside and seek shelter. Never rub it warm. You'll damage the freezing cells even further. Frostbite symptoms appear in three stages that include feeling, cold, sore, and painful, which is frostnip. Then pins and needles, which is a surface frostbite. Lastly, numbness indicates a deep frostbite. If you're cold, your animals are too. Just like people, pets' cold tolerance can vary from pet to pet based on their coat, body fat, activity level, and health. So be aware and adjust accordingly. You may need to shorten your dog's walks in frigid temperatures, and short-haired pets and short-legged pets may also become colder faster because their bellies and bodies are more likely to come into contact with the snow-covered ground. Pets with diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, and hormonal imbalances may also have a harder time regulating their body temperatures. The same goes for very young and very old animals. Some things you can do is provide choices or stay inside. Play dress up and consider a dog sweater or coat, and always check their paws. They could crack or bleed from stepping on ice and are also prone to frostbite, just like us. So if your pet is whining, shivering, seems anxious, slows down or stops moving, or they seem weak and start looking for warm places to burrow, get them back inside quickly because they are showing signs of hypothermia. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Badgers could make history tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team has been around since 1898. And in that time, only three head coaches, Bud Forrester, Doc Meanwell, and Bull Ryan, had 200 or more career victories. If the Badgers beat Ohio State tonight at the Kohl Center, head coach Greg Gard would become the fourth. Gard's overall record stands at 199 and 110. Just one win away from 200, the Badgers are back in the top 25, ranked 24th in the nation. In the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings eliminated from the playoffs after losing to the Rams 27-9 on Monday Night Football. In Green Bay, a frustrated Tucker Kraft was asked what will he remember about this Packers season as he cleaned out his locker.
We couldn't finish. That's what I think of this team. We're all sitting in here in this locker room with frowns on our faces, people packing their shit, ready to go home, people talking about the offseason vacations, and we should be getting ready to play the next game in the postseason. That's my opinion on it.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is cold out there again this morning with a wind chill hovering around minus 15, and we're going to keep that wind chill below zero for a good chunk of the day today. Mostly sunny, our actual high 14 this afternoon. Tonight, clear to above tomorrow. Mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high of 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's one above.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him. And I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing
your
it.
Face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn as the national media landscape continues to evolve. Plus, when insurance companies go broke, who pays? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man. Yeah,
brother,
I can
like,
dig it.
Stop right on.
What's up? Hey, man, what's your name?
What's
up? What's
your name? Mother.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. So the weather, Calvin.
Yeah, we got a little dust in today, and it's pretty cold, but I heard that it's going to be 40 by Friday.
For one day.
What?
It'll be 42 for just on Friday. Then it drops back down to 30 and then back to 9 below 0 on Monday.
What do you know?
One day.
Winter. This is cold winter, guys.
Yeah. 42 degrees on one day. And, you know, here, we're in Racine. Oh, by the way, that's my the guy you're hearing talking is my co-host Sandy Williams. By now you ought to know him. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. And yeah, there's snow down. It's interesting. Wisconsin has a varied climate. You can just travel 10 miles and suddenly you're someplace else. So
well,
there's probably 5 or 6 inches of snow on the ground here and nothing up in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because when this snow fell a week or so ago and 5 or 6 inches.
Yeah, now it stayed cold.
Yeah, it stayed cold. And so it's actually ice, and it's probably going to be here for a long time to come, right?
Yeah, like I said, I've got the skating rink I watch, and it's going to be around for, this is a winter like we used to have. I noticed around where I live, there's some public skating rinks that have been flooded. Kids are skating on them. It's sort of a return to a back to the future kind of thing.
Well, except for snow. We're like 10, 12 inches below snow.
Averages?
Yes.
Yeah.
But that can change in one, you know.
Yeah, well, the weather has obviously become weird. And, you know, we can all be happy. We worry about a little ice on the road, which is not, you know, can be very treacherous, but what's happened in California is like unbelievable. So
we're gonna get into all of that, Sandy, and many other things, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Packers a moment.
Yeah.
Were you disappointed?
I was disappointed. I think Jordan Love's got to learn how to not throw into double and triple coverage and go for the long ball all the time. I mean, you know, it looked to me like that was a game we could have won, just like the one in Brazil. You know, they aren't out of our league by a long shot. You know, they didn't score many points on offense. Most of the stuff we sort of gave them, there were 4 turnovers. I mean, we laid an egg, you know, in a way. We didn't lay an egg as a team. The defense played great. The offense just was in a slog. You know, we played better than the Vikings did last night.
You know what's so strange? Everybody was talking about how deep early on in the season the Packers' receiving core was.
Yeah.
It's the deepest receiving core in football. We've got that. At the end of the game, they could barely find a receiver.
Yeah.
Football is...
Well, football has become quite brutal, no question about it. And this concussion thing, I mean, Romeo Doubs, that's this concussion.
His career is probably over.
Well, I mean, this wasn't even the kind of collision. This didn't look like something that should result in such a terrifying concussion. But after you've had one or two of them, I think you become a little bit more prone, much the way to Aguilera.
You know what I never understood is... While he was on the ground, he was on the ground for an extended period of time. It was frightening.
Yeah.
And they walked him all the way out, holding him, and he could barely stand. Where was the cart?
Yeah.
I mean, he had to come all the way from the end zone. See, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, he was walking very gingerly.
I know. With two guys holding him.
Yeah.
And you could tell that he was in duress, right?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I don't know what the medical judgments are. But yeah, I was surprised they didn't cart him off instead of they almost were walking him like his feet weren't touching the ground. It was sort of
it really, in my mind started, man, anyway.
Yeah.
And the Vikings last night, you know, I like the Vikings.
You know, if the Lions lose, this vaunted North Division could be without anyone in the final. You know, it's been expected that they would do so well. But I think they're going to have trouble with the Commanders. Don't they play the Commanders?
Yeah. Well, listen, the Lions, they're the real deal, Sandy.
Yeah?
They're the real deal. Well, I don't see them folding like the Packers and the Vikings did. Even with all of the injuries they have, that coach has them. You know, I had a conversation with Gilbert Brown recently about the Lions, and I kept saying, well, man, their starting whole defense is gone. He said, it's that guy, the coach.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you mean to tell me that the coach can coach up lesser players? He said, yeah. He said, if he can motivate, it's about motivating guys. He said, we say lesser players, but those guys are being paid to play pro football. They're actually all great athletes. And they're not that much less of an athlete than the guy before them. They were the best in not only in their schools, but in the divisions, right?
Yeah. No, I think that's true. I mean, I think people step up. You know, we've obviously, the Packers keep uncovering people that are great that were no names. So, you know, I don't think there is that much difference in quality. And Campbell,
speed,
obviously.
Maybe.
Campbell obviously is a really good coach. And of course, Gilbert is from Detroit. So he's,
yeah.
He's probably always, no, probably grew up as a Detroit Lion fan.
He's not a Detroit Lion fan.
Well, I bet secretly there's some part of that Detroit kid.
Well, probably now because the Packers are gone.
Yeah.
I would say this. You kind of knew. You could hope and wish upon a star, but for the Packers to beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia, kind of a tall task, especially the way they were playing.
But, right? To be honest with you, I do join the group who say that the reffing, you know, that initial fumble was targeting. I mean, the reason he fumbled it was helmet to helmet.
Sandy,
and
you're
then
a homer.
And then he actually recovered it. I was very...
Sandy, you're a homer.
I'm probably a homer.
I never knew you to be a homer. But,
yeah.
But they lost the game to a better team. And, you know, the Packers just, as you stated, you can't throw. What did he throw, three interceptions?
Three interceptions.
Last night,
the last one probably didn't count. But then again, that's the same finish we had last year in the— In fact, it was the same finish. You know, he threw an interception to finish the game last year in the playoffs as well.
Last night, the Viking quarterback threw four interceptions, was sacked 9 times.
Sam. Yeah, that's because he counted up to 9 or 10, 10 1,000 before he...
Well, I was listening to what was the guy's name? He used to be a star quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
Troy Aikman.
And he was condemning him for holding the ball. He wasn't getting any times.
Yeah, I watch Peyton Manning and his brother cover the show on the other station.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great time listening to
them. Yeah, well, they're funny.
Yeah.
Those guys are comedians, you know. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to cover a lot of different issues, but I want to go just a little bit further, Sandy, with football, because we don't talk about it much. So who do you think is, you know?
In Super Bowl bound?
Yeah.
Well, I suspect, you know, if you looked at numbers and everything, I suspect it would be the Chiefs versus the Lions, but... you know, we'll see about the Chiefs.
I don't think the Chiefs are going to make it.
They're going to have trouble getting through. I just don't know who's going to beat them.
Either the Super Bowl game is this Saturday. It's the Buffalo Bills and the Ravens.
Yeah, that's true. Either one of those two teams. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're more than Kansas City can handle, and that'll be a great. I'm going to make sure that. I have tea and crumpets ready for me so I don't have to get up and move. I don't normally do that for a football game, but this is going to be a great game.
Yeah. Well, those two quarterbacks are fantastic.
Yeah. Defenses, the whole teams, they're complete. In Kansas City, you know, they've been gutted. You can't keep the great teams together. Back in the day when the Packers were able to do the things that they did with Vince Lombardi, guys weren't free agents much.
Well, there weren't free agents.
Oh, that's right. There wasn't free agents.
Yeah, you were bound to the team you played for, and as a result, you didn't earn much money either. But, there wasn't free agency until about, I don't know what, the 70s.
And so the team stayed together. And so you knew what you had coming back every year. It's not like now. If you pay a quarterback... So. Jordan Love makes $55 million a year. He's only started 2 years, and he's making $55 million a year, Sandy.
Mm-hmm. I've been actually practicing in the backyard. I throw the ball through a tire. I do it every morning, every afternoon. I'm thinking, maybe, you know, I'm a little bit old.
But if you look at that, that's what's wrong with what's happening now. To be honest with you, Jordan Love really hasn't shown that he's worth $55 million a year.
Well, I think you're watching the NFL morph, though. It's morphing in the direction back to running back for a while.
It will now.
Yeah, so every team to have a good, for the quarterback to shine, it's apparent that you have to have a good running game. And look what Derrick Henry's doing for Lamar. I mean, so I think as money migrates toward running back and as running back becomes a significant, you won't have to be as good a quarterback. You don't have to be throwing dimes all the time if the defense has to play the run.
So, Sandy, you and I are going to cover a lot of different subjects this morning, as always. 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
From the center, WRCE.
Between all the holiday parties,
weekend tailgates,
and family get-togethers,
we've been overindulging a little more than usual over the holidays. But now, we're starting the new year off on a healthier note by taking active liver supplements from New Nordic every day.
Active liver contains a powerful blend of turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract, all natural ingredients that help protect the liver so that it can protect you from toxins. It's like giving my body a daily detox. I've never felt better and my energy is through the roof.
And my doctor is already impressed with how much better my numbers are looking. So if better health, more energy, and detoxing your body are some of your priorities this year, get Active Liver today and start the year off knowing you're giving your liver some well-deserved relief.
Active Liver is available in both tablets and as a delicious gummy. You can find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family. Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here, on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I don't know what it's like to be you, and I don't know what you have to go through, but I can try to see the world through your eyes, put myself in your shoes, and empathize.
Emphasize?
No, 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 oh, empathize, not emphasize. But empathize.
Entropy?
No, 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 oh, empathy, not entropy.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy, the music.
Well, the music today is about empathy, the concept of putting yourself in other people's shoes, and I found a song that was actually about empathy. It was triggered in my mind by a TED Talk I listened to in which they were talking about the difference between cynics and people who trust others. Cynics are people who kind of impute the worst motives to the other people that they deal with or to other people. And other people might have trust be their predominant view of other people. And the notion was that cynics are viewed by the public generally as shrewder, smarter, and people who are trustworthy are viewed as maybe gullible and fools. But when they went out and did testing on competence and capability, they found out that people who trust were actually more capable and more competent than people who were cynics. That being a cynic is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Imputing to the other side, the other people, bad motives is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you clearly trust someone and entrust them, they're more likely to be trustworthy than if you treat them cynically. And so one of the exercises in this TED Talk was the notion of empathizing, asking people to make the case for the other person. And, you know, in debate, we have a caller, CJ, calls in frequently, says he wants to debate anytime, any place. People who debate actually don't know what side of the argument they're going to be debating until the beginning of the competition, when they're told, "Okay, you're going to be arguing pro, and your opponent is going to be arguing con." You have to know and understand both sides of the argument in order to be a debater, and you have to be able to do either one compellingly well. And so, you know, today my hope is that we can start the process of people with empathy, trying to put themselves in the shoes of other people. And I think we should, personally, I'm going to ask callers when they call in to try and first describe why it is that the people they disagree with have the opinions they have. I want them to make the case for that other person and try to be the person who can understand why other people have the views they do. Because in business, if you want to make a deal, you have to understand what the other people want and why, in order you can, and so you can make a middle ground.
Sandy, I have to. I'm really trying to understand the me trying to understand why somebody else thinks the way they do. And so by doing that, even if,
look,
for instance,
you don't have to believe that what they think is right. You simply have to try to understand what it is they think in order to bridge the troubled water between you. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
So let me ask you, is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So if somebody on the other side is...
Okay, let's start with something right now.
This is my point. So if somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is not level, that is wrong, I'm supposed to try to understand why they feel that way?
Here's an exercise. And this is going to be a hard one for us to discuss, possibly. Let's say that I'm a racist, okay? I just have it in me that I think there's something wrong with black people, with African Americans.
That people feel that way.
Okay.
It's true.
But maybe the question is why, okay? Maybe it's because I've never met one. Maybe it's because I don't have any knowledge to base this on. It's simply a primal fear I've got. Maybe it's because my parents were racist and they told me that this was the way I ought to think. So if that's why, then maybe, you know, maybe I've never met one and spent any time with one. Well, maybe the solution to that is, okay, you know, let's bridge that gap. I'm just saying that understanding what the issues are underlying a position, even if that position is totally wrong, I mean, unless it's sociopathic, psychotic, something that has no reason, but if there's situations in which you have a disagreement and a different view of things, then understanding why is an important concept.
So here's what I would say, especially in a situation like the one you just said. Being a person of color and knowing that there are people who feel like you just said, I'm supposed to understand why they feel that way, and I'm the person who's suffering from this, from what somebody else has in their mind, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I'm the racist. I should be projecting myself. I should be projecting to you as well. I should be trying to understand what it feels like to be the victim of racism, what it feels like to be black. I mean, empathy is a two-way street.
if we were able to get people to honestly have that kind of dialogue, it could change things.
It could change things.
Right, but to get people to honestly do that is where you...
Well, this TED Talk was trying to, I think, get there by persuading people that actually it's more intelligent to be a skeptic, meaning that you can trust other people, but trust but verify. You know, it's what people talk about, Ronald Reagan talking about. To be a skeptic, it's better to be a skeptic than a cynic. A cynic is someone who imputes to other people bad things. A skeptic is one whose mind is open, okay, to whether that person is good or bad, depending on what it is, how it is they act, and the evidence that they receive. And so I think if we all would become no worse than skeptics, okay? And to be open to talk and dialogue, to understand, we could get somewhere. We could actually get this bridge over troubled water.
So we'll give it a try. I just think that it's hard to find people who would be willing to be that open. You know, that's part of the problem.
Well, I think an awful lot of people who call into the show like the notion of debate. I think we ought to learn how to debate both sides so that we can get to the middle.
855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
Empathy.
Oh.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. If you have frozen chicken and cheese taquito products in your freezer from Aldi, you'll want to check the package. There's a recall on Casa Mamita chicken and cheese taquitos produced on July 3rd and September 25th. Over 24,000 pounds of taquito products are being recalled. They have Best Buy dates of 7/3/25 and 9/25/25 on the bottom panel. A consumer found a piece of metal in the chicken and cheese taquito, and another person reported a dental injury from the product. If you have these in your freezer, you should throw them out or return them to Aldi, where you purchase them. Wisconsin gets a C for its gun laws. That's according to the Giffords Law Center to prevent gun violence. But the balance of the legislature is changing, and some advocates hope gun laws get more attention. Civic Media's Lisa Hale reports.
The Giffords Law Center compares a state's gun laws with that state's deadly outcomes. And according to Lindsay Nichols from the center, they find the same results every time. The stronger the state's gun laws, the lower the death rate. And the weaker the laws, the more people who die.
We know that these gun laws work, and there really is no reason why legislators shouldn't be taking action to prevent these tragedies.
While Wisconsin has enacted basic gun safety laws, she notes that the state could also pass bans on assault weapons or high-capacity magazines or lengthen the waiting time for a firearms purchase. She says the state could also benefit from red flag laws. Despite public pressure for new gun safety laws in 2020, Wisconsin has not passed any significant gun legislation in years. Democrats have tried unsuccessfully to introduce at least 30 gun safety measures since 2019.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's one thing not to advance in a nationally televised singing competition show. It's another thing to storm off when you're eliminated. And it's still another thing to do it dressed as a toad. Macy Gray is a Grammy-winning artist. On The Masked Singer, where her identity was concealed, she was referred to as Toad in a Hole, also known as a disgusting name for a breakfast plate. Gray eventually came back for the Q&A, where she said, "You know, I've been singing for a long time, and now I'm a toad." Ouch. At least she got paid. Timothy Chalamet will not only host Saturday Night Live in January, he will also be the musical guest. SNL announced the actor will make his third appearance as host January 25th. In addition to receiving rave reviews for his acting in the Bob Dylan biopic A Complete Unknown, the actor has also been lauded for his singing. Chalamet says he spent 5 years preparing for the role, which included singing lessons, and was adamant about not lip-syncing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is cold out there again this morning with a wind chill hovering around minus 15, and we're going to keep that wind chill below zero for a good chunk of the day today. Mostly sunny, our actual high 14 this afternoon. Tonight, clear to above. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high of 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's one above.
Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going...
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, I address whether the January 6th committee destroyed evidence. You know, that little tidbit that's been flying around the MAGAverse. It ain't true. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
There are so many parts that I have hidden and denied and lost. There are so many ways that I have cut off my nose to spite my face. There are so many colors that I still try to hide while I paint. And there are so many tunes that I secretly sing as I wait. Come along.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us that same number. Send you the music.
Well, today's music is about empathy, trying to put yourself in the other people's shoes, trying to bridge, find the bridge over troubled waters, and to try to avoid cynicism and at least adopt skepticism. You know, have your eyes open and be willing to find evidence and find the evidence that supports possibly a good outcome.
All right, let's go to Mary from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Mary. Thank you very much for the call. Your thoughts?
Yeah, good morning, Earl and Sandy, and thanks for this discussion. Interestingly, I came across something on the web just recently about the different types of empathy, and the one that got my interest was cognitive empathy, was the terminology, meaning ascertaining the emotions of another intellectually. It's an attempt to understand how their circumstances influence their lives. And the national organization Braver Angels, I think, attempts to accomplish in bridging rational communications between liberals and conservatives. And I would hope that Earl will consider having a Braver Angels guest on someday to just let us know what they're about and try to attract more attention and participants in this. Thanks for the discussion.
Hey, Mary, I will reach out to the Braver Angels. Thank you. Let's go to Tom from L.A.
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. Sandy, I'm very, very interested in your topic, just to let you know. And I would like to, you know, number one, I'm in sales. I've been in sales my whole life. And my whole purpose is I run into lots of people, you know, that are on the other side of the aisle. And I can empathize with them. The thing that I find is that when I go to a person's house, as an example, because I've done door-to-door sales as well, I can tell you right away when they are adamant about having Fox and they're adamant about having a certain media diet, whether it's OAN or what was the other one called? I can't remember. But they have that political persuasion. I honestly feel sorry for these people that get this media diet. And I'm not saying that as a way to talk down to people. I'm just saying that myself, as a gay man from Wisconsin, who has run his own company, glpages.com, a little plug, one thing I say in the front of my book, or when I had a book, was do not fear the LGBTQ, you know, and I guess transgender now for you know, big purposes, plus people, get to know someone. Don't fear us. Find out what we're about. Then maybe, you know, it's fear. There's only two emotions in the world, in my opinion. It's fear and it's love. And the thing is, people that are really hatred or filled with hate are really afraid. That's what they are. And I'd just like to say to those people, don't be afraid.
So Tom, based on the conversation Sandy is talking about, are you in a position to understand why they feel the way they feel?
100%. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest. I've been in California now for 25 years. I have seen every single type of human being, and I try to take every human being as an individual. I don't try to stereotype. I don't try to do what the media tells me. I try to take that individual person as an individual. I'm sure that if Gary, I was around Gary or I was even around CJ, I probably would get along with them great on a day-to-day basis.
So I think what, Tom, what you're saying is empathy is the name of the game. I mean, trying to understand, trying to project and understand what is going on in other people's brain and can create the possibility of getting a knowledge to cross the river of enmity. And because you're right, I think it's fear and uncertainty and a lack of knowledge that is the wedge that is between people, and you have to bridge that. You said you were in sales. Anybody who's good at sales understands that it's empathizing, it's understanding what that person you're standing in front of wants and needs that makes the sale. And so it's part of a lot of people's lives. I just think we don't make it a part of our life in as much as we should.
100%. And what I would say also, Sandy, is that, you know, when you have, I'll give you an example. I dated a guy that was a Puerto Rican from South Bronx years ago. And every role he went in on for acting was for a gangbanger, was for a drug dealer, whatever it might be. Well, people in the Midwest that don't have experiences with other people, and that's all they see is, you know, these guys coming to the border in their caravans, and they see on TV black guys, oh, all they're going to do is shoot you up, drug deals, this and that. That becomes their experience. And because that becomes their experience, they are afraid of that. So instead of being afraid of that, they get together in their cluster of other quote-unquote white people, and they form a clique. And that clique now is going to go and attack minority groups because it makes them feel less afraid.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call.
Well, I mean, I think in using the examples unlike ones I might have used, but, obviously what Tom is saying is what we're talking about, which is that in order to bridge the gap between people, they have to have their minds open to being just skeptical about the other person and not cynical, not having a hate barrier, not imputing to others bad motives, but to try to understand what it is and why. And there just isn't enough of that, okay? And if there was more of it, and I would just try to admonish those who call in today to let's see if we can't have a day where we exercise empathy in our discussion.
Let me ask you, we just had a presidential election, and unfortunately, many of those who were on the other side of the coin who supported Trump had no problems pointing fingers at people on the other side and saying all sorts of egregious things about those people. It's hard to then feel empathy towards people who are attacking you.
Empathy is not sympathy. Empathy is not forgiveness. Empathy is just trying to understand why. So, you know, like in a business transaction, you might not like the person sitting on the other side of the table at all, but you might at least try to understand what it is they want and why, to see if there's a middle of the road that can reach an agreement with them. And once you understand the other side's what they want and why, you actually soften your view of them because you begin to understand what it is that makes them tick. And so the people today, we have this divide in the country, but it's not true that half of our country is people that have bad intent and half of the people in this country have good intent. That can't be the case. So the intent of everybody must, you might just take the position that everybody's intent from their perspective is good. Okay, it's good from their perspective. They've justified it in their mind as to why they think it's good. They might think it's good because they're so afraid of something that they want to make sure that they and their family are not endangered by that thing. And that thing might end up turning into a concept of that is racism.
So,
okay?
Sandy, I mean,
their intent is not in their mind bad. And then the question is, can we resolve the issue here by reaching more understanding?
I have to say to you that the outcome of that way of thinking, again, based on historical facts and what even Dr. King fought for, and is the fact that it's hard for a person who has done nothing to another person, and yet they're looked at as something completely different. I'm afraid of this person. Based on what? I haven't done anything for you to be afraid of me.
Well, let's put it.
And yet, I'm the person who's being impacted and affected by this, and I'm supposed to understand why you feel the way you feel.
Well, yeah, you can understand it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to forgive them. But let's face it: profiling is based on ignorance. Profiling is based on a limited experience. Profile is based on not knowing enough to and making generalizations that are not necessarily founded in fact whatsoever. That's, I mean, racism is the ultimate profiling process. And so, yes, you don't have to like it. But if you understand that it's based on a lack of knowledge and a lack of experience, then maybe it's possible, maybe not probable, but it might be possible to bridge that with experience.
I would say, Sandy, that it's a harder thing for a person who's been discriminated against to understand why he's being discriminated against, because the impact of that discrimination has impacted the life of that person.
Absolutely.
And so it's harder for a person to feel that empathy.
Well, wait, empathy, like I said, though, empathy, if we use this correctly, you're just trying to understand why. You do understand why about profiling. You do understand that it's based on a lack of experience and a lack of knowledge, right? I mean, you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but that has been hurtful.
Absolutely.
And damaging to the lives of the people that we're talking about who've had to suffer through that. And so, again, with some of the things that have occurred historically, behind it, it's a little harder, okay, to say a person who's kind of, you know, discriminated against me,
yeah,
that I should meet. And that's what Dr. King talked about. You're supposed to meet that force with love. That's what Dr. King's whole message was about.
Well, I'm not that much of a saint here in this discussion. I'm simply saying you need to meet it with an attempt to intellectually understand why, which might break down then into trying to understand what it is, the wound that person has experienced that has caused them to be so far off base with their view.
But so wouldn't that person who feels that way, and exhibits that, mm-hmm, and the damage that they're doing to the person, they want me to feel their
well, like I said,
and understand them.
It's a two-way street. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not asking victims to be the saints here. I'm simply suggesting that as a society, if we started building empathy into our educational process, into our cultural processes, then everybody would have to put themselves in the other person's shoes. It would be very hard to be a racist if you actually projected yourself into the shoes of the people that you are victimizing with your racism.
So intellectually, it's a great conversation, but to make people actually have this conversation, mm-hmm, is something that will take work.
It's wishful thinking. That's what you're saying.
855-752-4842 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. And it's a good conversation.
From the center, WRCE. You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Some people stay far away from the door if there's a chance of it opening up. They hear a voice in the hall outside and hope that it just passes by. Some people live with the fear of a touch and the anger of having been a fool.
Is that Billy Joe?
Yep.
They will not listen to anyone, so nobody
An innocent man?
Tells yep. them a lie. This is all about the skeptic. This is the cynic. Yeah, people protecting themselves. That's what Tom was talking about.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingham Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesdays. That means Tuesdays is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, we're talking about...
Well, we're talking about empathy, and that isn't sympathy. It isn't entropy like that song earlier. It's just the ability to try and put yourself in someone else's shoes, understand why they're saying what they're saying, thinking what they're thinking, being a skeptic and not a cynic, looking for evidence, having an open mind.
All right, let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, I'm kind of struggling with this topic when I look and I see what's going on with LA and how the GOP and the MAGA party has decided to make this another wedge issue, another division issue, make it about DEI. And, you know, Sandy made some good points, but as he was saying them, I'm thinking about all the hurdles we have to get over through a person's psyche, be it religious, be it taught hatred for others over the long period of time through being in a household, hearing what's said, and then repeating what's said, and then believing, well, my parents believe it must be true, and then looking at the overall. Being 65 and looking at the overall picture of what's going on and thinking about all the men and women who've lost their lives fighting for democracy and everything else, I just find it so hard myself to look at somebody who can have a MAGA cap on, wear it around a store, and think that for some reason I should have the culpability mechanisms to get through the brick wall that is somewhere in their brain that is making them think what's going on right now is okay.
Well, that's a great response, yeah, Brendan.
I don't disagree with you in terms of it being a difficult process. And the problem is that they would need to participate in this whole process of empathy and be as much into it as anybody else would be to get to the middle or to get to the bottom of it. I think that trying to exorcise cynicism from our population is a very worthy project, but not one that'll actually happen. But I did think that it was very interesting to find out that in the world, people who are skeptical rather than cynical are more successful and are more successful in everything they do in their personal relationships and in their occupations than people who are cynical, because cynicism ends up being a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I think that much of MAGA Republicanism is built on cynicism. It's built on imputing to others bad motives, and I think we've got to work our way through that. And I think we have to avoid as well, however, believing that those who are wearing the MAGA cap have bad motives. I think they are misguided, okay? And I think then you have to figure out what it is that's misguiding them and what can we do about it.
Let me ask, thank you very much for your call, Brendan. Let me ask you, Sandy, the bad guys in our community, guys who, you know, want to stick a gun in your face and rob you, am I supposed to try to understand why they are doing what they are doing or feeling the way they are feeling?
Well, we're involved with Voice of the Elders.
Right? Yeah.
And Voice of the Elders that you've started is designed to try to understand what it is that's stimulating 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old boys to make bad decisions about stealing cars, carrying guns, doing the things that will turn them into bad guys, okay? Making bad choices is the way you get to be a bad guy. And presumably that means you have choices to make. Now, what we find out in this process is that these people live in an environment where it's harder for them to make good choices, that they have more choices that they have available to them to make that could be bad. They don't have as much knowledge about what good choices could do for them. You know, there's a bunch of information there. So that if you enter the concept of analyzing young bad guys by deciding they're bad guys, instead of trying to understand why they have made the choices that make them bad guys, you can't get to a solution, okay? And I think that's what caused you to start Voice of the Elders, because you have some empathy and understanding about why it is that young boys might become bad guys.
Susan, hang on. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And in addition to this, we're going to talk about some other things. You know, why we should get rid of the debt limit, you know, and some other things on the Earl Ingram Show.
I'm not above going back to the start to find out where the heartache began. Some people hope for a miracle cure. Some people just accept the world as it is. I'm not willing to lay down and die because I am an innocent man. I am an innocent man. Oh, yes.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, our colleague Jimmy Cuska joins us to talk about potential changes within Wisconsin sports. Not everybody's happy. And how much money are we spending already on that Wisconsin Supreme Court race? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local civic media radio station or the civic media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the civic media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry. Preston, Santa Ana winds kicking up once again in Southern California. Firefighters keeping a close eye on the flames. Dozens of water trucks are in place to replenish supplies after hydrants ran dry last week. Fire crews are also better prepared, but Los Angeles County's fire chief says everyone in potential fire zones should be ready to evacuate at any minute. Confirmation hearings beginning for Pete Hegseth, President-elect Donald Trump's pick to be defense secretary. ABC's Rachel Scott on Capitol Hill says he's accused of alcohol abuse.
Hegseth was also accused of sexually assaulting a woman in 2017. He called the encounter consensual, but his attorney says he settled with the woman in order to keep his job. Sources tell ABC News the FBI has completed its background investigation into Hegseth, but never interviewed the woman. It's unclear why.
In his final report, Special Counsel Jack Smith says his team stood up for the rule of law as it investigated the president-elect's actions in the days after losing the 2020 election. This is ABC News.